People like to ask me what heaven will be like, and many of you have heard my answer before. Heaven is a complete change in what we understand, and so I'll let you answer the question, what will heaven be like? If everything was different, what would it be like? Better? Okay, I'll take that one. I have to confess that a number of these thoughts come from a message I heard from Tim Keller. The problem with hearing Tim Keller is the moment you hear him, it's hard to have an original thought because his are so good. But I want to share some things from John chapter 8. You had John chapter 8 in your Sunday school class. Jesus is being confronted. He's being pushed around. He is faced with people who are half-hearted believers, half-hearted followers. And when someone is half-hearted, I'll tell you something Jesus does, and I put this out as a warning to all of you, and because we see it in Scripture constantly. If you are half-hearted, Jesus will push you away. What does the Bible say about lukewarm? We see evidence of it. We saw evidence of it when we studied John chapter 6. You look at John chapter 6, and these people are kind of half-heartedly with him, and Jesus pushes and pushes and pushes and pushes until they all leave, except a few. And Peter says, "We don't get it, but you have the words of eternal life." And that's why I want to encourage this morning. Faithfulness. Stand strong. Really, it is worth it. In John chapter 8, Jesus is getting pushed again. Oh boy, something new, huh? And when he speaks to these people, Jews, all of them, in John chapter 8, we read starting at the 30th verse, as Jesus was saying these things, many believed in him. And Jesus said, "Oh yeah?" And so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We're descendants of Abraham," they answered him. "We have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus responded, "I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you're trying to kill me because of my word, because my word is not welcome among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father, and therefore you do what you have heard from your father." "Our father is Abraham," they replied. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus told them, "you would do what Abraham did. But now you're trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father does. We weren't born of sexual immorality," they said. "We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of liars. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. That is why you don't listen, because you're not from God." The Jews responded to him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" "I don't have a demon," Jesus answered. "On the contrary, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I do not seek my glory. The one who seeks it also judges. I assure you, if anyone keeps my word, He will never see death. Ever. Then the Jews said, oh, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Ever. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Even the prophets died. Who do you pretend to be? If I glorify myself, Jesus answered, my glory is nothing. My Father, you say about him, he is our God. He is the one who glorifies me. You've never known him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I'd be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day. And he saw it and rejoiced. The Jews were like, you are 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, I assure you, before Abraham was, I am. At that, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple complex. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we are here to recognize Jesus. Jesus who offers freedom and life. And it's his life that we clasp onto in his name. Amen. Jesus offers us freedom, and he begins with that wonderful phrase, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. During the 1960s, you would often hear civil rights marches, and what song would they sing? We shall overcome someday. Well, they would also sing, the truth will make us free. Gathered right from this. But Jesus says something interesting in line with this. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Jews respond, we're descendants of Abraham, they answered him. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Now, earth calling, did you guys forget about something called Egypt? Did you guys forget about something called Babylon? Are you completely unaware that you're surrounded by Roman soldiers? Well, did you notice that Jesus didn't tell them they were wrong? You see, there's a different kind of freedom. There's a different kind of freedom. I want to ask you if, and you're going to hear a little speech, less than a minute. Tell me if you understand it.
Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Do you understand that speech? Do you think you understand what he's saying? If so, I have a little quiz. If they take your life, how is that not taking your freedom? Do you understand it now? Do you understand his speech? And do you understand then that the Jews were saying very much the same thing? That we have a free spirit, that even in slavery, our hearts and minds are free. Why? Because as they said, we're children of God. And here's where they make their big mistake. We're children of Abraham. And they equate being children of Abraham with being children of God. Now, we look at the Jews and say, boy, did they miss it? Oh, really? Did they? I'm a Baptist. How can you question my Christianity? I've been baptized. I've gone to Sunday school. I've got perfect attendance pins running down my leg. How can you question my Christianity, right? And then Jesus says, everyone who commits sin is a what? Slave. Slave. But if you know the Son, He sets you free, and you're really free. What does Jesus mean by freedom? Let me ask you this question. As a follower of Jesus Christ, does it make you less kind to others? Does it make you less forgiving? Less accepting? Does it make you more fearful? Oh, God is going to get me. I better not. I hope God didn't see me do that. More prideful. I bet I'm more humble than you. I'm part of a better church than yours. More self-centered. If that's your Christianity, it is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is screaming against that kind of thinking. How does he do it? Well, he gives the example, he gives an illustration. How about that? Jesus uses illustrations of a slave. He says a slave lives in the house. A son lives in the house. A slave obeys the master. The son obeys the master. What's the difference? Any minute that slave can be removed. The son remains. Jesus is not out to change your behavior. He's out to change your status from slave to child. So there is no fear. And there is no pride. I've got nothing to be proud of as a Christian. As a Christian, what I am is a sinner in desperate need of help, and I got it. I'm no better than anybody else. And that's what Jesus' freedom means. The genius of Christianity is that it doesn't deliver you to yourself, but from yourself. What does Jesus say? If any man will follow after me, he must deny who? Himself. Take up a cross, an implement of death. And a cross is more than an implement of death. A cross at that time was a symbol that someone else is in control. A Jew carrying a Roman cross meant what? Rome is in control and I am not. When I take up a cross, I'm saying Jesus is in control and I am not. And that's what Jesus means by freedom. Now, I give you all of that so that you can understand what Jesus says sometime after that. Jesus gives us freedom, but he also gives us life. In verse 51, he says, I assure you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death, ever. We talked about some people who died, who loved the Lord. How can this be? Because we have a different definition of death. As so did Jesus, by the way. Take a look at what Jesus says. Sometime later, Jesus is going to go to a grave of a friend, the grave of someone he arrived too late to, right? And out comes a sister, and she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, you don't get it. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. John will later write in Revelation chapter 2, the victor will never be harmed by the second death. There is a second death, which is what Jesus delivers us from. And of course, Revelation 20:14 says that the second death is what? The lake of fire. And so we're delivered from that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a different kind of death, isn't there? And so we don't have to fear the death of the body, because not only does the soul live, but Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he's the ticket out of that grave. And I'm not talking out of that grave spiritually. I'm talking out of that grave physically. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are suffering from physical ailments? How many of you have gotten up some morning and said, I wish I had a different body? Just coming out of surgery, headed into surgery, do you wish you had a different body some days? It's on order. It's coming. And it will never hurt. And it will never die. Jesus gives freedom. He gives life. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus himself die? A crucified guy can't deliver. Someone was telling me just this morning, it was an atheist, obviously. He said, my higher power is Bertrand Russell. Anyone know who that was? Bertrand Russell was an atheist, rather well-known atheist in his day. He happens to be dead. My higher power ain't dead. My higher power did die, but he ain't dead. He rose from the dead. And so Jesus says this, before Abraham was, I am. He's not saying before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I am. And this comes from Tim Keller. Jesus was not saying, I existed before Abraham. That is not what he's saying. He's saying, I am existence itself. Just like he is the resurrection, he is very existence. Nothing made him happen. Nothing can unmake him. He is eternal. He is eternal God. A crucified guy can't give you life and can't give you freedom. But the risen Lord of the world can. And just as he did with these people, he demands a choice. Now, what happened? What did these people do? They picked up stones to throw at him. This tells me very clearly Jesus said, I am God. They were believing, not believing, believing, not believing. They were sort of wishy-washy, lukewarm. You know that term? And what did they do? What did Jesus force them to do? He forced them to choose. And they did. And I'll probably go over this again, but Keller made this point. Jesus was constantly saying, crown me or kill me. Crown me or kill me. Call me king or kill me. But make a choice. Get on one side of the, get off the fence. Get on one side or the other. Be faithful or be out of here. Or be an enemy. I prefer enemies to the wishy-washy. You can handle an enemy. The wishy-washy, that's not what he's after. Jesus calls us to a faithfulness that is life itself. Because he's not just the giver of life, but he is pure life in one body.